for his birthright. He didn't value his birthright. And I think if you're somebody that doesn't value the things like that, the birthright or the purpose or the plan of God in your life, if you don't value what you're supposed to walk in, I believe it's a little bit easier for you to get ripped off. You know what I'm saying? If you don't value something, it'll get stolen. You'll leave it sitting. You know, you see a child that doesn't value things. They don't have a value system. They didn't pay for it. And so they leave those phones, those big $1,000 phones. I don't know what they cost anymore. They used to cost a lot of money. Because I don't buy new phones, but anyway, that, you know, they those electronic devices, those Nintendos and all that stuff, they just leave them sitting because they didn't work for it. They didn't pay for it. They didn't value it, so it made it easier for them to get ripped off. It made it easier for them to have something stolen. The fact that Esau didn't value, the Bible said he didn't even value his birthright. He gave it away for a bowl of soup of temporary feeling. Tells us he didn't find the stuff of God and his purpose important. And that trait in him made it a whole lot easier for Jacob the deceiver and his mama the deceiver, Rebekah, to steal Esau, to rip him off, to take his blessing. But he never valued it, or he'd have protected it a little better. He never valued it. Sometimes I don't think we value the things of God enough. And we wonder why the devil robs us blind. We wonder why we get picked clean. It's like throwing a fish hook and we get picked clean. We wonder why. Maybe sometimes it's because we're not valuing what God has in store for us enough to protect it. So we know in the womb these two children were fighting. And we know that God gave a prophetic word to Rebekah and said, the older shall serve the younger. God was already, we already established last week that God knows you have created with purpose before you were even formed. Okay? We talked about that last week. You know, there's a group politically that says life begins at conception. There's a group politically that said life begins at birth. They're both wrong. Life began when God thought it up way before conception. Way before conception. It's way back, Josh. You were a dream of God. And so God already, so you wonder why. I mean, this is really deep stuff. Jacob deceived his brother. Jacob tempted his brother. And then Jacob really lied to his father, deceived his father, and stole from his brother, a shameful act. But God still, in his all-powerful knowing way, before that even happened, had willed it to be that Jacob would be the one he would pass on the blessing to. God had already spoke that. And so me, I sometimes wonder, God, when I see the character of Jacob, I mean, I know Esau was rough around the edges. He was a hunter. And he liked those Hittite women. He didn't just hunt animals. He hunted Hittite women, I promise you. And mama didn't like them Hittite women. The Hittite women was causing a stir in the household. But you know, Esau was a little rough around the edges. But by law, by right, he was a manly man, and he was firstborn, and by right, he should have been one the way we look at things that God favored. But before they were even born, God told Rebekah that the young, God said, you know what? I'm going to flip it upside down. See, some of us were born grabbing. Some of us weren't born in line. Some of us weren't fortunate, son Sal. Some of us weren't born with a silver spoon in our mouth. Some of us weren't born with a religious pedigree. Some of you weren't born with $1 million in the bank in a trust fund. Some of you were born a little hungry. But you know what? God knew that before he formed you. But he still said, I'm going to bless them and I'm going to turn some things upside down. You might not have been born first, but God said, I'm going to flip the script. I'm going to turn it around. And so I wonder as I look at Esau and Jacob, when Jacob was the deceiver, why did God see him and say, that's the one I want to use? The guy that would put hair on his body and go to his dad and lie and say, I'm Esau, give it to me. The guy who would steal. A guy who was conniving. And God looked at that guy. And you don't think God knew who he was going to be? His name was Deceiver. And God said, that's the one I'm choosing. That's the one I'm going to use. Now, I see Esau had contempt. I see Esau liked Hittite women. But I don't see any of that stuff from Esau. I don't see him lying and stealing and thieving and conniving. Why would God, who knows everything, value this deceiver over this guy here who's just a good guy? Solid. I mean, it really sounds like a bubby, really, don't it? Likes himself. Well, I'm not going to get into that. You know, just a good old boy. And God, but I think we get hints, and I'm not trying to speak for God, though I'm trying to let God speak through me. But I'm not trying to put anything extra in it, but we do look at clues here. You know what I believe God, and just my belief here, so this part, I mean, we're going to read word in just a minute, by the way. We're going to read some words. Like, I guess I should have started with the word. I'll get into it. We're going to read some word. But I believe when the Bible says when he gave away his birthright, we talked about that last week, and the verse literally says that Esau didn't value it. I think that's the thing that bothered God. Jacob was a thief and a liar. Call it like it is. Oh, but he wanted it. When he come out of the womb, he was grabbing his brother's heel, trying to pull him out, trying to come out. He was fighting to get his when he come out of the womb. Some of us, we've been fighting since we popped out of the mama. We've been fighting and we've been scratching and we've been reaching to get it. You imagine that scene? A baby's born and the other one's grabbing his leg, trying to pull him back and climb ahead of him. Come on. He might have been a liar and he might have been a thief and he might have had some stuff worked out, but God purposed him because he was a fighter and he valued the blessing. He was a fighter and he valued the birthright. He come out fighting. Rebecca said he was fighting in his mama's womb. He was fighting the whole time, trying to get his. And Esau was willing to give it away for a bowl of soup. So God gave the purpose. What kind of purpose are we talking about? Well, let me read this. I got to read this scripture. Oh, I don't know. Genesis 35. I'm going to read this scripture. Preach a minute. We won't be here long. Genesis 35. This is Jacob's return to Bethel. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Powerful stuff. There's so much you could preach for a year on this stuff. Genesis 35. Then God said to Jacob, get ready and move to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob told everyone in his household, get rid of all your pagan idols. Purify yourselves and put on clean clothing. We are now going to Bethel, where I will build an altar to the God who answered my prayers when I was in distress. He has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob and all their pagan idols and earrings and buried them under the great tree near Shechem. As they set out, a terror from God spread over the people in all the towns of that area. So no one attacked Jacob's family. Eventually, Jacob and his household arrived at Luz, also known as Bethel, in where? Canaan land, the promised land. Jacob built an altar there and named the place El Bethel, which means God of Bethel, because God had appeared to him there when he was fleeing from his brother Esau. Soon after this, Rebekah's old nurse Deborah died, and she was buried beneath the tree in the valley below Bethel. Ever since, the tree has been called Elon Bakoth, which means oak of weeping. Now that Jacob had returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again at Bethel. God blessed him, saying, "Your name is Jacob, but you will not be called Jacob any longer." Come on. You will not be called deceiver any longer. Come on. You will not be called depressed. You will not be called less than. You will not be called Jacob any longer. From now on, your name will be Israel. God renamed him Israel, meaning God prevails with him, or God fights with him. Pause. Jacob been fighting his whole life. But God says, now you fight with me. Now I fight by your side. Now I fight with you. Now you're not fighting this stuff alone no more. You're not grabbing at heels alone no more. You are fighting with by my side, and you are winning with me. I am giving you a new identity, and your name shall be Israel. Back to the scripture, verse 11. Then God said, I am, come on. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. How's it go? You know that from about like 92. That's not junk, man. This is power. Listen to this. Then God said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. I am God Almighty. Some of you need to recognize the God we're worshiping this morning. We're not playing around with a dead God. We're not playing around with a pagan idol. We're not playing around with a fat man to rub his belly. We are worshiping God Almighty. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Verse 11, then God said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. You will become a great nation, even many nations. Kings will be among your descendants, and I will give you the land I once gave to Abraham and Isaac. I will give it to you and your descendants after you. Then God went up from the place he had spoken to Jacob. Then, listen to that verse. Then God went up from the place he had spoken to Jacob. Sometimes God, we think he's so far away. The scripture says God came down to Jacob and spoke to him. And then he went back up. Every detail, man. He came down. And it says, then he went back up from the place he had spoken to Jacob. And Jacob set a stone pillar to mark the place where God had spoken to him. He poured wine over it as an offering to God, anointed the pillar with olive oil. And Jacob named the place Bethel, which means house of God, because God had spoken to him there. You may be seated. You know what? I hear people say all the time, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? No. No. No, you don't. But it sure as heck helps a lot. Let me tell you something. You know why this place is important? because this is a place. And God does it everywhere. I'm not saying God doesn't. But when we come together corporately and God comes down and moves among his people, inhabits the praises of his people, touches his people, speaks to his people, we dedicate that place and we call it House of God. You are the temple. We don't need a temple, but this is a special place because it's a place where we come together and God gives us powerful revelations and God does powerful things in our midst, and we set it aside for that purpose. And that it's an important thing. It's okay thing. And so he did that. So I think about this. This was God. This is the third time God had given Jacob his purpose. He told his mom that was before even Jacob. Then as Jacob was fleeing, God appeared to him at Bethel and said, I'm going to do this thing. And then right after a long 20-year struggle, God appeared to him again. The night he wrestled with God, and God said, you've wrestled with God and man, and you've prevailed, and I'm going to do this thing. And so then he goes and makes peace with Esau, and he's on his way home, and the third time God comes to him and identifies his purpose. To us, this purpose doesn't make a lot of sense, but you got to understand what he was saying. He was saying to Jacob, you're Israel. You're my holy nation. You're the family that I'm going to run through. Jacob had 12 children. Each of those became the 12 tribes of Israel. One of his children was named Judah. We just saw a flag flying around. Thank God, I love it. Lion of the tribe of Judah. That means lion from Jacob, the deceiver's boy. Lion from Jacob's boy, Judah. It meant that Jacob would literally be birthing forth what would become Jesus and what would become Calvary and what would become you and I plan of redemption, what would be the cross, what would be the empty tomb. The blessing that Jacob was purposed was to bring forth literally the Messiah. Woman shall birth a son. It was a big deal. But there was a problem. Jacob was born with everything against him. He was not the firstborn child. He was not his father's favorite child. He was a mama's boy. He was a deceiver. He had a family of somewhat dysfunctional, and that mama liked one boy and daddy liked one boy, and split household of what we want to do. Jacob was born into problems. Anybody, you don't have to raise your hand. Anybody in there here ever been born into problems? If you've been born into a woman, you've been born into problems. I don't care how, you know, you feel like your life has been good or bad. But I'm here to tell you, just because you were born into problems, your problems do not defeat your purpose. Come on. Your problems do not change your purpose. Your problems do not defeat your purpose. Jacob wasn't perfect. Far from perfect. He had an identity crisis the moment he was born. He was grabbing onto his brother's heel. From the moment he was born, he had an identity issue from birth. He had problems. He wasn't perfect. He was a liar. He was a thief. And he was a cheat. And he was honestly a conniving little punk. Because anybody that'll look at your hungry brother who says, hey man, can I have a bowl of that soup? Yeah, if you give me your birthright. Come on, that's a punk. I mean, Esau probably should have jacked him upside the head is what he probably should have done. He wasn't perfect, but his lack of perfection did not defeat his purpose. His lack of perfection did not defeat his purpose. His problems didn't stop his purpose. His lack of perfection didn't stop his purpose. And He had to go through a process to get to purpose. And the fact that he had to go through a process, that also did not defeat his purpose. Some of you think God is shortchanging you or that God's delaying you. And sometimes we do make decisions that delay our destination. But I'm here to tell you, the fact that you're going through purpose, through process, does not destroy your God-created purpose. You have a purpose. God put a purpose inside you before he ever put you inside your mama's womb. And you may have come out fighting, and you may have lied some, and you may have cheated some, and you may have been insecure some. But if you keep battling, and you keep fighting, and you keep hanging on, the purpose will come to pass. You had to go through a process. You see, to get to Jacob, from Jacob to Israel, God knew he was going to choose this flawed individual to be the last patriarch of Israel. The first patriarch, the third patriarch, but the first father of the 12. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his 12 children, the 12 tribes of Israel. One would be Joseph, the dreamer. You know, it's funny how characteristics, there's studies, and I'm not, the blood breaks every curse, but it's funny. Rebecca was a deceiver. Jacob became a deceiver. And his children became deceivers. And so God worked through them anyway. But they were passing on some stuff, really, you know. Somebody needed to deal with that stuff. Because the stuff you don't deal with, your children will. You better get a hold of that. The problems you don't deal with, the things you sweep under your rug, your kids are going to. The stuff that you think nobody knows about, your children are going to be dealing with that same stuff because you didn't cut the giant's head off. So I look at the fact that how did Jacob in his journey, because I identify lately, probably always with Jacob, because here's the deal. Jacob, pretty quickly early on, though he was an underdog and a cheat and a swindler, attained what he wanted to obtain. He got the birthright and the blessing, but he didn't enjoy it then. He was not in a position to enjoy it. Sometimes you can get the job. You can get the man. You can get the trips. But you won't enjoy it. You see, God told my dad, and not just dad and mom, but there was a vision given to dad. I'm sure mom, it resonated with her as well. That one day, he would be ministering with his son on, he had two children, of course, with his son on one side and his daughter on one. That was about 20 years before it happened, though. A lot of stuff to get there. And a lot of stuff to stay there. You don't arrive once, friend. Sometimes you wrestle your whole life. But Jacob, though he got the blessing and birthright, was not living in that blessing. He was not living in his promised land. He was not living in his, with his family. And he was not worshiping God. You know why? Because though he got it, and even though it was purposed inside, he knew he was a cheat. He couldn't walk in that identity because how he got it. And so he always doubted himself. He felt like a fraud. And sometimes we can walk in our purpose. But we feel like a cheat. And we feel like a fraud. And we don't enjoy it. And we don't walk in it. And maybe I'm the only one that's ever felt that way in my life. I mean, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, right? Aren't we doing what we were born? That's all we've ever known, Jenny. We left for a while, but all we knew was this. But are we real? Or are we cheats? Haven't we all been cheats? Don't we all feel that way sometimes? But we can act the act. But deep inside, do we doubt that this purpose really belongs on me? I wasn't born first. Does it really belong on me? And we struggle with that purpose and identity. And that is what Jacob did. And so he literally ran from his problems. And he ran from God. They were worried. He was worried Esau was going to kill him. He was in a mess. He had cheated. He got everything he wanted. But he couldn't sleep at night. And he ran from God. And he spent over 20-some years on the run. He had a birthright. He had a blessing. When he left on his way out the door, he stopped in Bethel. He took a sleepy night, had a hard pillow, a rock for a pillow, couldn't sleep. He got the vision of Jacob's ladder, the angels of God descending and ascending, heaven to earth. God told him the purpose that his mama had told him, but he still doubted who he was because he knew he cheated to get it. He knew he cheated to get it. And so Jacob had to spend his wilderness or his struggle season, a time where Jacob showed some things and validated why God chose him. You see, God chose him knowing he was going to be a cheat at first. But he knew that that old boy wouldn't let go. And he would fight. He would fight. And he would fight till he was legitimate. So I would say this. Jacob had to face three foes. Three foes. Three foes. Three mighty men. Three giants. Before he could get to the place where he would really feel the identity that God bestowed with him. I just read you the last blessing. At that point, I think Jacob had arrived. At that point, Jacob had been through process. And I'm sure there were still struggles ahead. There were. We read about them. But at that point, Jacob knew he was Israel. At that point, he knew God prevailed. But there was a 20-some year period before that that Jacob had to face some stuff. And I'm here to tell you something. Just because you're facing stuff, don't give up. It don't mean God made a mistake. It don't mean you're not who God said you were. It don't mean you're a fake or a fraud. Because I'm going to tell you something else. Jacob identified as a fake and a fraud. Right? And the way he obtained the blessing and birthright would make you feel that way. But who called him a fake and a fraud? Before he was born, God said it was his. Now his mechanisms were flawed. His mama's mechanism. But God had already promised him that. Yet he wore that label. Ain't mine. Maybe you didn't get it God's way, but God said before you were born, it was yours. And so Jacob had to face three foes before he could really say that he believed God had purposed what God had purposed. It's one thing to have the birthright and the blessing, and it's another thing to know what to do with it. Number one, Jacob had to face himself. He had to face his nature. There were some flaws in Jacob. We are humans. We are created in God's image, but we are of a carnal flesh. We talked about that a little bit Wednesday night. Steve made a good point. Steve said something was human. It's exactly right. It is human. It's called flesh. Of course, the scripture says we are to overcome the flesh. But we still have flesh. So it's natural in us to have flesh. And Jacob's flesh was, he liked shortcuts. See, God had told him it was going to be his. He thought he'd just help God out a little bit. And mama sure wanted to help God a little bit. And let her precious child, I'm going to take care of my precious child. If mama would have spanked Jacob a little more, Jacob might have turned out a little better. He might have got a little quicker. He might have got a little quicker. Instead, mama enabled Jacob in his dysfunction. So even though God had promised him that, he had this nature inside him to want to do it in his timing. And we all have that to a degree, right? We push God. I want it now. I want my way. I want what I feel this in me. God's told me this purpose, and I want it now. Jacob had to face that part of him. And a part of him is willing to lie for it. A part of him is willing to cheat for it. And if you want to be honest, I mean, I know we probably don't have too many habitual liars in here. But if the stakes were high enough, most people in this room would lie. Oh, it's just a little fib. IRS says you're supposed to pay the... Oh, why? I don't have to report that. We all got a price, I guess. Some of us willing to lie. I'm not saying, Lord, they've just hired 87 mil. I did not. That's not me. Do not investigate me. We all have a price. We don't like to admit that. Jacob had a lying nature. He was willing to go to his father and totally defraud him. And just totally destroy his brother in the process. He had some junk in his trunk. He had some stuff in his closet. And he had to learn patience, my friend. So the Bible says he went away to his mama's brother. Mama's always taking care of old Jacob, isn't she? She didn't do him no favor. She sent him to a pagan uncle who was a cheat and a swindler. It was a family. I'm just carrying on an old family tradition. Say, Lord, why do you cheat to be a cheater? And why do you lie? I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. He really was carrying on a family tradition. If you laugh, you know the song, so what does it matter? Let's just pretend I don't know it. That makes me more holy if I pretend. If you laugh, you know it. I just hate hypocrisy. Let's just pretend we don't know stuff. Let's just pretend we're holy. You know what? If you ever hear that song again, I hope you think of Jacob now instead of that other old junk. And then maybe God will touch you in that, and maybe you'll move where you're sitting. Maybe you'll turn the channel. So he sent him to his uncle Laban, and player got played. So Jacob, who had been the cheater, goes to work for his uncle, and he says, "Man, I like this girl. Man, you got a daughter. Wow." So he wanted her. So his uncle said, cool, you can marry her. Work 7 years for me. That's a high price. So he worked 7 years for Rachel, and then his uncle, I told you, was a cheater too, swindler too, horse trader. Remind you of anybody? Uncle? What was that too? I see. Horse trader. And so, wedding night comes around, and the old boys work 7 years, and Uncle just does a swap. They put the veil on and they can't see, puts the wrong girl. The problem was, Tony Hutt, there was a preacher that preached this message one time. I'm not going to say the stuff he said. But this was not the girl he was attracted to that got switched in there. So he goes to kiss. He's worked 7 years. They marry. It's official. It's legal. I guess they didn't have annulments. He lifts up the veil, and it's the wrong woman, and he don't like her. We've all been. And Dad makes a point. We're laughing at this as real stories, but we've all worked for things. And we get what we think we worked for, and it didn't turn out we were getting what we worked for. It's not always women or men or... It could be a job. It could be a place in life. It could be I worked hard for that house. I worked hard for this, you know? So he got cheated. So he went to his uncle and said, Uncle, you cheated me. And the old horse trader uncle said, okay, I did. You want Rachel, the pretty one? Seven more years. So he goes to work 7 more years. So he ended up working. He got cheated and had to work twice as hard. You see, he got his blessing and birthright twice as quick, but he got his family twice as long, and probably a whole lot longer than if he'd have just done it God's way to begin with. Then he had to work 6 more years to get some property. And by the end, basically Jacob tells his uncle, you basically cheated me since day one. You've took advantage of me and cheated me since day one. And at that point, then his cousins get mad at him and they're jealous of him. And there's a big family quarrel again. Problems. And Jacob has to leave his uncle's place. His uncle goes after him, about kills him. They make a peace between what would become the Aramites and God's people, the chill tribes of Israel. But in that process, in that 20 years of being cheated and swindled, the cheater found out what it's like to be cheated. And he got to face some things in himself. He had to learn some patience. I don't know about you, but I'd have wanted to take my uncle and choke him out. But he had to learn some. He had to learn. He didn't have the power. Sometimes we don't. You know, sometimes we're the man. Sometimes we're not the man. We might think we're the man, but sometimes we're not the man. And we have to learn to swallow a little pride. And we have to learn to be patient. And we have to learn to be humble. And we have to have a little humility before God will bless us. Oh, sometimes we got to find that humility. It's hard sometimes for some of us. Pride. To defeat our pride. Jacob had to defeat his pride. He had to swallow and eat his humble pie. And he had to face the nature of who he was. And the guy that had got everything by hook and crook had to take it and be taken advantage of and crooked himself. But in that 20 years, he learned some stuff about himself. And he became a different man because he faced himself. Sometimes before you're ready to fully walk in God's purpose, you have to wrestle with yourself. And the problem is we spend all of our life wanting to fight other people. Spend all of our life just wanting to fight and wrestle other people. It's your fault. It's your fault. You did this to me. You did this. It's your fault. And sometimes I got to look in the mirror. I got to wrestle myself. Second foe Jacob had to come to peace with was God. He had run from God. And he even had pagans in his own tent. Now, it was his wife that got him from his uncle. Boy, that uncle was a bad character, wasn't he? You got to watch who you hang out with sometimes. Unc tried to take his idols back. And the pretty wife hid him under, she sat on him on the camel so she could hide him so he couldn't find him. You know that's in the Bible, that's real. She valued those idols to the point she hid him. And Uncle looked everywhere for him, couldn't find him, and he wouldn't move. And he tried, I can't tell the whole story. You know that's a shame. No, I'm not. It's a shame that in the Bible Belt that says, you know, we can't take nothing from her yet. That you can't preach the whole Bible because people get offended by half of it. You can only preach the PG stuff. You can't preach the rated R stuff. I'm not going to preach it. But anyway, it's not really pertinent to the point anyway. You can read it for your own enjoyment. But he really didn't have that kind of relationship with his God. I mean, God, even as he walked out of town, told him what he was going to do to him. And Jacob still had doubt in his heart and ran from his calling. Boy, I bet nobody here has ever ran from your calling. I bet nobody here has ever ran from it. I mean, to really sit down and be a man on the run and God come to you and show you a powerful vision and said, this is your destiny, this is your land, and you run on and spend 20 years running. We wouldn't do that, would we? Just like I guess we wouldn't give away a bowl of soup either, right? I'm just preaching to me up here. But again, God chose him for a reason. Like Peter the hothead. They want to do everything his way and fight everybody and yell at everybody. But he knew there was a stubbornness in Peter's heart. God knew there was a stubbornness to Jacob's fight. And so that night as Jacob fled his uncle and started to make a journey back to face his third foe, God appeared to him one more time. And that's the night Dad preached about it two weeks ago. That's the night that Jacob wrestled with God. Now, you don't have to believe this, and it really doesn't matter who's right or wrong. But almost every theologian I know believes this to be a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ as the fourth man in the fire in the children of Israel. That actually most of us believe. And Jacob even tried like the Pharisees to get him to say his name, but it wasn't the season yet for Jesus to reveal his name. And so we know that the Bible says he wrestled with God, and we know that he said, I saw the face of God. But he spent a night wrestling. And really, that night really represents Jacob's whole life in one night. Some nights, there's some moments in your life, your whole life just... And that night represented Jacob's whole life. Because he spent a whole night wrestling with God. But you know what? You know why I think God chose Jacob over Esau? Esau gave away the soup for nothing. But Jesus, wrestling all night with Jacob, and that old boy wouldn't let go. He wouldn't quit. There's something about him that wouldn't quit. And you may be in the middle of a process right now, and if you were totally honest, you might be doing some wrestling with God right now. But the fact that you're here today tells me something. You haven't let go. You haven't let go. And by the end of the night, again, I hope you give me the, I hope you don't mind me saying it this way, but Jesus looks at him, said, you've wrestled with man and God, and you get your blessing. You're not Jacob no more. You've spent 20 years with that uncle, and you've learned humility, and you've learned patience, and you've learned hard work, and you've learned to work twice as hard to pay back instead of twice as easy to steal. And now you've spent this night and you've wrestled me and you wouldn't let go. You wouldn't quit. And now your name is Israel. And no longer will you fight against God, you'll fight with God. And so that night he left. He was on his way somewhere and he took that to be a sign he wasn't going to get killed. See, the third foe he faced is a tough one. He faced his past. Because we can fight with ourselves, we can wrestle with God, we can get through all that. The devil does not give it away easy. He won't give it away. And what he does to try to get you to go back, even after you defeated all this other stuff. You remember Esau? What did that mean to him? I don't think at that point, I've been to a point in my life where I didn't care if I lived or died, and you've probably been there. I don't even know if Jacob cared. I mean, maybe he did, and we all care a little bit sometimes, but bringing up Esau after God had just said, you're Israel, also reminded him who he cheated and what he was. That in his daddy's eye, come on, that in his daddy's eye, he never did measure up. He didn't hunt. He wasn't his favorite. He never was going to be his daddy. He can't measure up to his daddy. And in that moment, his past was the last foe that Jacob had to defeat to really become Israel. For God to really pour his purpose on him, he had to deal with his past. And so he left. He didn't have to. He decided to go home. Some of you in this room are tired. Listen, you wrestle with God and man, you're wore out. I bet you Jacob was tired. You been tired? Tired of fighting sometimes? Jacob said, I'm going home. Kind of like that prodigal son. We talked about Esau last week. Now we're going to Jacob. Maybe they're both sons. I'll just go home and take a chance because I'm tired of running. I'm a fighter. I come out of the womb fighting. All I've known is to fight man and God. And I've run long enough. Today, I choose to go home. Take everything I am. He took everything. He took his honeys. It's a different time, folks. They were crazy. I don't know why they didn't want more than one. You don't? He took his wives and his children and all of his possession. And he went, and there he met his past. Going up against your past is hard. We talked about that Wednesday night a little bit. It's like going into a prison and seeing some home invasion person that murdered people. When you were on the other side of that, and you walked in on the murder of your brother by home invasion, and you always identified those people by that loss. And that young man hugging her and breaking and saying, "Today I see what I did." And both releasing in tears, hate, bitterness. That's facing your Esau. That caring. And you shared it, so I'm going to share it because you shared it. I would not share it if you hadn't said it publicly in church Wednesday night. When somebody has when they're young, an older relative try to sexually assault them. And then later in life, he gets sick. And you go provide care for that person. That's looking Esau in the face. Oh, that's hard. This isn't easy stuff, folks. Facing Esau is not a piece of cake. Yes, he was afraid Esau would kill him. And Esau could have. But it's more than that. It's facing the man that he was and the man he never could be. And the fact that he never was what his daddy wanted him to be. And there he stood with Esau. And there the brothers didn't know what was going to happen. Didn't know if he was going to get killed or what. They hugged it out and they loved each other. Jacob blessed him. Esau didn't even want it. He said, "No, man, I'm good. No, I'm going to give you." In that moment, Jacob said something really wild. Israel at that point, but he said something really powerful, Israel did. He said, "No, I am so blessed." Now, you got to remember, the night before, he saw who? He says, "I saw the face of." I saw the face of. When he hugs it out with Esau, you know what the Bible says? He said, "No, I'm the one that's blessed." He goes, right now, listen to this. In that moment, when he faced his Esau, Israel, Jacob says, "I just saw the face of God." He knew what God looked like. He saw him last night. But in that moment, when he conquered his past, when he made peace with his Esau, his identity, he once again saw God in that place. Will? I remember campfires where you just wanted to beat me and Dad over going in prison. But when that inmate came up and prayed over you, it was like you saw the face of God, man. He faced himself and he wrestled and he prevailed. He wrestled God and he prevailed. But he wrestled his past. And he prevailed. You know, Jacob was born with a lot of problems, but that's who God chose to use. As we come to a close. In the gospel, Jesus said a little different, but kind of the same thing. In Matthew 22, 1 through 14, he says, "You know, I made a feast. We're finished, guys. Just let me say this, and we're going to do it. We're going to pray. He said, I made a feast, and the ones that were qualified, I made a spot for them. But they didn't care much for their spot. Like Esau. So he got mad. He said, go out and get the good and bad. Just get them, anybody who really wants it. Give me a fighter. Give me, they might be a swindler. They might have been a swindler. They might have been rougher. But give me somebody who wants this seat at the table. Do you want a seat at the table? And he said, they came in and sat at the table. Esau didn't want his seat. Jacob did. And Jacob went through a process to get to the point where he realized who God made him to be. Jacob left his home young, and he came back old. He left alone, and he came with a family. He left poor, nothing, and he came back rich. He left healthy and young, and he came back with a limp. He left in a conflict, and he came home at peace and reconciled. He left as Jacob, and he came back as Israel. He left running from God, and he came back prevailing with God. His name was Israel, and his 12 children became the 12 tribes of Israel and the nation of Israel. And they begat one who would later be King David. And they begat kings would be in his descendants. But not just kings would be in his descendants. The King of Kings. The King of Kings. Yeshua. Jesus. So I'm here to encourage you today to say this. That you may feel like you don't belong. And I don't mean, you just may feel like you're not enough. You may feel like you're a cheat. You may feel like you don't measure up. The devil will always try to hang that tag on you. You got to wrestle with yourself. You got to wrestle with God. But you got to face your Esau. Because that might be what's stopping you from really walking in your Israel, your new identity. You see, I'm not a cheat. I'm not a swindler. You're not a cheat. You're not, have you cheated? Had you lied? But that's not who you are. You are prevails with God. And you are purposed. And you are here for a reason. And it's time today to get there and face our Esau's. And let's come on home together. Let's go home, all right? How many want to go home today? Powerful purpose in this room. Do you believe that? Yes. Do you believe your neighbor has purpose? Well, they just said they believe you have purpose. So that's pretty cool. Could you bow your heads? Thank you for being patient. I'm sorry it took a minute. I really struggled with even giving this word today. I really did. Sometimes it's selfishly hard because I feel like at night I study a lot and I'm blessed to have a supportive wife that will write me love notes on my sermon notes and things like that. But I believe God wanted you to hear this word today. And I believe I needed to hear this word today. Esau and Jacob. There's some Jacobs in this room. You have powerful purpose and you're ready to birth it. And your children shall be children of God. Your children, I believe, will be the greatest generation to ever walk the earth. Somebody needs to receive that. Somebody needs to receive that. Face your Esau. How many would say God has spoke to me? And I know that I have purpose, but sometimes I try to, the doubts get in my head and I feel like I don't deserve it. I feel like I'm not legit. I feel like that, I just feel like I'm not worthy of all this. I just don't feel, is there anybody in this room be real, man? If it is, raise your hand. I want God to take that off you today. I want God to take that off you. Put him up high. Switch hands if you have to. I want to challenge you to do something crazy right now. Nobody's looking. If your hand's up, I believe with all my heart this whole thing was not, we don't plan any of this stuff. But when we were talking earlier about God going to shake stuff off of you, I believe God is shaking some labels off some people today. He's shaking some past labels. He's shaking some insecurities. He's shaking some burrs. And he's shaking that you are not swindler. You are not Jacob. You are Israel. And God shall prevail in your life. Put your hand up. If your hand is up and nobody's looking, I'm going to challenge you to be brave and stand up right now. Just nobody's looking. Just stand up. If your hand is up, I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Thank God. There's people already coming. Thank God. Thank God. God's going to do something to you today. God's going to do something through you today. God's going to honor your obedience. When I count to three, if you're standing, I want you to come. I want you to come confront your Esau. And I want you to come wrestle. And I want you to come get what God put you to be on this earth. This is your day. I believe God's going to break something loose for you. Just come on. I'm not counting to three. Just come on. If you're standing, just come on. And even if you're not standing, if God's calling you into a new identity, then you say, you know what? The devil's trying to keep me somewhere, but I know that I have a purpose. I know that I have a purpose. Just come forward. God's doing things in this room. God's doing things in this room. If you want to pray with somebody, come on up and pray with somebody. You are who God's created you to be. We will get there. In Jesus' name. I'm going to pray. This praise man is just going to praise the music over you. Just pray with people. Come on.